Chapter 23. The singing didn't stop as they marched through the woods. They tried their best to be quiet, but every once in a while, Mark would step on a twig or fallen branch and break it, the crack of wood sounding like a little bomb in the relative silence of the forest. Alec gave him a sharp look each time it happened, as if such an act were the single dumbest thing a human had ever done. All Mark could say was, "Sorry." He tried his best to step carefully, but he seemed to be drawn to things that made terrible noises. There was almost no sign of sunlight left as they crept among the trees, closer and closer to the chorus of creepy chanting. The trees became standing shadows, ominous and tall and pressing, almost as if they leaned toward Mark no matter where he was standing or walking. And it was harder for him to stay quiet, which drew more reproachful glares from Alec. At least he couldn't see the expressions as well in the dark. He kept moving, following the old bear's lead. They'd made their way through the woods another few hundred yards when it became obvious that there was a source of light up ahead. It was orange and flickering. A fire. A big one. And the volume of the singing had gotten louder and louder, as had the intensity. These people were really getting into whatever it was they were doing. Alec crept up to a fat, old tree and squatted behind it. Mark was right at his back, doing his best to keep silent. They knelt side by side with plenty of room to spare. "What do you think about the things Dee Dee said?" Mark whispered. He must have said it too loud, because the man gave him his standard "be quiet" look, just visible in the faint light. Then, in a soft voice, he spoke back. "This could very well be the people who left her behind. And they sound like they've got scrambled eggs for brains. Now try not to make any noises, would you?" Mark rolled his eyes, but Alec had already turned away and was leaning forward to peek around the edge of the tree trunk. After a few seconds, he faced Mark again. "I can't make out all of them," he said, "but there's at least four or five yahoos dancing around that fire like they're trying to call back the dead." "Maybe that's exactly what they're doing," Mark offered. "Sounds like a cult to me."
Alec nodded slowly.
"Maybe they've always been that way.
Dee Dee said they called her evil. Maybe the virus, or whatever it is, has made them a lot worse.
A cult with a disease that drove them even crazier. That sounded fun.
Gives me the creeps that I haven't even seen them yet."
"Yeah, we better get closer. I want to get one last glimpse. Make sure they're not something we have to worry about."
They bent low and inched out of their hiding spot, slowly walking from tree to tree, Alec checking each time to make sure it was clear to move on to the next one. Mark was proud of himself. He hadn't made a loud noise in quite a while. They continued until they got within 100 yards or so. The singing was crystal clear, and the shadows from the flames circled and flashed in the canopy of branches above them. Mark squatted behind a different tree from Alec this time and leaned his head out to take a look down the long slope. The fire roared, at least 10 feet wide, with its tongues of flame licking far up into the air, almost threatening the lower limbs of the trees surrounding it. Mark couldn't believe how these goons were risking burning the whole forest down, especially with how dry everything still was in the aftermath of the sun flares. 5 or 6 people were dancing and gyrating around the bonfire, throwing their arms up and bringing them down again, bowing toward the earth and then shuffling to the side, where they started all over again. Mark half expected them to be wearing crazy robes or be flat out naked, but they wore simple clothes, t-shirts, tank tops, jeans, shorts, tennis shoes. A crowd of a dozen or so others were lined up in 2 rows on the other side of the fire, singing the weird chant that Mark had been hearing. He didn't understand a word of it. Alec tapped him on the shoulder, making him jump. He turned to face the man and had to restrain himself to keep his voice low.
"You scared the crap out of me."
"Sorry. Look, I have a bad feeling about these people. Whether they're a threat or not, the people at this bunker we're headed for have surely noticed them by now and are going to be on high alert."
Mark wondered if maybe that would be a good thing.
"But if they're a distraction,
It'll be easier for us to sneak up on the place, don't you think?
Alex seemed to consider his words.
Yeah, I guess. We should probably...
Who's up there?
Mark froze, as did Alec, staring at each other with open mouths now. Mark could see the light from below flickering in the reflection in Alec's eyes.
I said, who's up there?
It was a woman calling from the group at the fire.
We mean you no harm. We just want to invite you to join us in our praises to nature and the spirits.
Oh boy, Alec whispered. I think not.
I definitely think not, Mark said back.
There was the crunch of footsteps, and before they could do anything, two people were standing over them. Their backs were to the fire, so Mark couldn't make out their faces, but it looked to be a man and a woman.
You're welcome to dance and sing with us, the woman said.
Her tone seemed way too calm for the circumstances. In this new world, strangers should be met with more caution. Alex stood up straight. There was no point in crouching there like kids spying, and Mark did the same. Alec folded his arms and stuck his chest out like a bear trying to defend its territory.
Look, he began with his typical bark. I'm flattered you came here with an invite, but we'll have to respectfully decline. No hard feelings, I'm sure.
Mark grimaced, thinking these two people were far too unpredictable, maybe even unstable, to risk being sarcastic or rude to them. He wished he could see their faces for a reaction, but they were still hidden in shadow.
Why are you here?
The man asked, as if he hadn't heard the comments from Alec.
Why are you here, spying on us? I would think you'd be honored that we offered an invitation.
Alec sucked in a short breath, and Mark sensed him tensing up.
We were curious, Alec said evenly.
Why did you leave Dee Dee behind? Mark suddenly blurted out, having no idea where it came from. He didn't even know for sure if these people really were from the same village or not. She's just a little girl. Why did you leave her behind like a dog? The woman didn't answer his question.
I have a bad feeling about both of you, she replied.
And we can take no chances. Seize them.
Before Mark could process her words, there was a rope around his neck, cinched tightly, yanking him off his feet. He croaked and threw his hands up to try to relieve the pressure as he fell on his back and the wind was knocked out of his lungs. Alec had been restrained the same way. Mark could hear him cursing through his choking sounds. Mark kicked and twisted his body, trying to turn and face his attacker, but strong hands gripped him under the arms and yanked him off the ground. They started dragging him down the slope of the mountain, toward the fire. Chapter 24. Mark finally stopped struggling when someone punched him in the face, sending a burst of pain through his cheek. The effort to escape was pointless, he realized. He relaxed and let them drag him wherever it was they wanted to take him. He saw Alec struggling against two large men and watched as they tightened the rope further around his neck. The old man's choking sounds made Mark's heart want to break open.
Stop it! He yelled. Alec, just stop! They're going to kill you!
Of course, the old bear paid no attention, just kept fighting. Eventually, they were dragged into the clearing where the fire still roared. Even as Mark saw it, he noticed a woman step up and throw two more logs on top of the inferno. It flared and spit out glowing red sparks. His captor dragged him around the bonfire and dumped him in front of the two rows of people. They stopped chanting, and all their eyes focused on Mark and Alec. He coughed and spit, his neck burning from the rope, then tried to sit up. A tall man, probably the guy who'd dragged him down there, put his big boot on Mark's chest and pressed him back to the ground.
Stay down, he said,
not angry or upset. He just said it matter-of-factly, like he didn't think Mark would even consider disobeying. It had taken two men to bring Alec down the mountain, and Mark was shocked they'd succeeded even then. They dumped him next to Mark. The soldier grunted and groaned, but didn't resist because they still had the other end of the rope that was tied around his neck. He went into a long coughing fit, then spit a wad of blood into the dirt.
"Why are you doing this?" Mark asked no one in particular.
He lay flat on his back and stared up at the canopy of branches and the reflection of the flames on the leaves.
"We're not here to hurt you guys. We just want to know who you are, what you're doing."
"That's why you asked about Dee Dee?"
He looked and saw a woman standing a few feet away. By the shape of her body, he could tell it was the lady who'd spoke to them higher on the mountain. Mark was incredulous at her lack of emotion.
"So it was you who left her.
Why?
And why are we prisoners now?
We just want some answers."
Alex suddenly burst into a flurry of movement, grabbing the rope and pulling it as he leapt to his feet. It came loose from the men holding it, and Alec jumped at them, hurtling forward with his shoulder out like a battering ram. He slammed into the side of one of the men, tackling him to the ground. They landed with a heavy thump, and Alec punched away, landing a couple of shots before two other men were on him, jerking him off the guy's body. Another one came in as well, and between the three of them they were able to throw Alec on his back, pin his arms and legs down. The guy he'd tackled scrambled to his feet and came at the old man, kicked him in the ribs three times in a row.
"Stop it!"
Mark yelled.
"Stop it!"
He jerked on his own rope and started to get up, but the boot came back, slamming him into the dirt once again.
"Do not, I repeat, do not move again," his captor said, once more using that flat monotone.
The others were still punching and kicking Alec, but the former soldier refused to give in, struggling to fight back despite his odds.
"Alec," Mark pleaded, "you need to stop or they're really going to kill you. What good will you be to us if you're dead?"
The words finally got through the man's thick, stubborn skull. He stilled, then slowly curled into a ball, his face set in a fierce grimace of pain. Almost shaking with rage, Mark turned his attention back to the woman, who was just standing there, watching it all with that maddening lack of emotion.
"Who are you people?" he asked.
It was all he could get out, but he tried to inject as much anger as he could into the words. The woman stared at him for a few seconds before answering.
"You are unwelcome intruders. And now you'll tell me about Dee Dee. Is the girl with you? At your camp somewhere?"
"Why do you care? You left her behind. What, are you scared she's going to sneak into your camp and make you all sick? She's fine. There's nothing wrong with her."
"We have our reasons," the woman replied. "The spirits speak and we follow their orders. Since the rain of demons from the sky, we've left our village, seeking holier places. Many of our people broke away, refused to join us. They're out there somewhere, probably scheming with the demons themselves. Perhaps you are a spy for them."
Mark couldn't believe the absurd words coming out of this lady's mouth.
"You'd leave a sweet little girl to die because she might be sick? No wonder the other people from your village didn't stick with you."
The woman looked genuinely confused.
"Listen, boy. The others are much more dangerous than we are. They attack without warning, kill without conscience. The world is beset with evil in many forms, and we can take no risks, especially since you invoked the name of Dee Dee. You are prisoners, and you'll be dealt with. To release you would risk alerting those who wish us harm."
Mark stared at her, his mind spinning. He had a sudden feeling of foreboding. The more this woman spoke, the more he felt it.
"Dee Dee told us that the darts came from the sky. We saw the dead bodies in your little settlement. The same thing happened to us. All we're trying to do is find out why."
"That girl brought the evil upon us. Her evil ways led to it. Why do you think we left her behind? If you've rescued her and brought her near to us, then you've done something more horrible than you could dream."
"What is this load of horse crap?"
Alec finally choked out.
"We've got bigger problems than you can dream, lady."
"You need to let us go,"
Mark quickly added before Alec could say anything more. The man might have been the toughest guy in their group, but he was the last choice to be a negotiator.
We're just trying to find a safe place to live. Please. I promise we'll just walk away. We won't tell anyone about you, and we won't bring Dee Dee anywhere close if you don't want us to. We can take care of her.
It saddens me how little you grasp, the woman responded. Truly.
Mark wanted to scream, but forced himself to stay composed. Look, let's take turns explaining things to each other then. Would that be fair? I want to understand. And I really, really need you to understand us. Can you just talk instead of treating us like animals? When she didn't respond, he grasped for something to keep the conversation going. So, how about we start from the beginning? How we got to these mountains? She had a wide, vacant look in her eyes now.
I always believed that the demons would try to be nice when they came for us. You tricked us into bringing you down here, tying you up, so you could be nice and trick us again.
Demons. All of you.
She gave a stiff nod to one of the men standing near Mark and Alec. The man drew his foot back and kicked Mark in the ribs. Pain exploded in his side, and he cried out, unable to help himself. The man kicked him again, this time in the back, right in the kidney. A deep ache washed through Mark, and tears stung his eyes as he cried out even louder. Alec protested.
Stop it, you sorry son of a—
His words were cut off when one of his captors reached down and punched him in the face.
Why are you doing this? Mark yelled. We're not demons. You people have lost your minds.
Another kick pierced him in the ribs, the pain unbearable. He balled up, wrapped his arms around himself, prepared for the continued onslaught, knowing he had no chance of escape.
Stop!
The word rumbled through the air from the other side of the fire, the deep, bellowing voice of a man. The men beating Mark and Alec immediately jumped back from them and knelt down, their faces lowered. The woman also got to her knees and looked at the ground. Mark, still wincing from the pain, straightened out his legs, trying to see who had spoken the simple but effective command. He caught movement through the flames and followed it as a man stepped into view and approached him. When he was within a few feet, he stopped, and Mark's eyes traced a path from his booted feet up his denim-clad legs, his tight plaid shirt, to his face, which was hideously scarred, almost inhuman. It made Mark want to look away, but he didn't let himself. He matched gazes with the disfigured stranger, staring into those piercing, wounded eyes. The man had no hair, and he had no ears. Chapter 25.
My name is Jedediah, the man said.
His lips were yellow and malformed, twisted to one side. He had a strange lisp, and there was a tonelessness to his voice.
But my followers call me Jed. You will call me Jed, because I can see that you've been mistreated, and you are now my friends. Is this understood?
Mark nodded, but all Alec did was grunt something unintelligible. Defiant to the end, the old soldier had sat up when their attackers had ordered the two of them to lie on their backs. But the men who'd been beating them just moments earlier were all kneeling as if in prayer. Mark sat up too, hoping there would be no consequence. If anything, Jed looked pleased.
Very good, the man said. It looks like we're finally making some kind of peace.
He walked over and sat down between them and the fire, the flames at his back. Their flickering light made the outline of his head appear wet and glistening, almost as if it were melting all over again. Melting. That was what Mark had concluded had happened to the poor guy. Did the sun flares do that to you? He asked. Jed chuckled for a few seconds, but there was nothing pleasant or cheerful about the sound. More like disturbing.
It always tickles my funny bone when someone refers to the demon plague that way. When it occurred, yes, I thought it was merely a celestial event that happened to take place in Earth's path. coincidence, misfortune, bad luck. Those are words that went through my head at the time.
And now you think it was big bad demons raining from the sky?
Alec asked, his tone making it clear what a crackpot idea he thought it was. Mark shot him a glance and felt awful. Blood covered the man's face, and welts and bruises had already appeared from the brutal beating he'd been given.
It's happened twice now, Jed replied,
showing no sign that he'd noticed Alec's sarcasm.
Both times it came from the heavens, once from the sun, once from the ships. We think they may visit annually, to punish us for becoming lax and to remind us of what we need to become.
Twice, sun and ships, Mark repeated. So the sun flares and then the darts from the berg? Jed's head snapped right and left, then focused on Mark again. What in the world?
Yes, twice, the man said, as if what he'd just done was totally normal. And again, it both saddens and humors me that you don't see the importance of the events. It means your mind hasn't evolved yet to be able to see them for what they really are.
Demons, Mark said, almost rolling his eyes before he stopped himself just in time.
Demons. Yes. Demons. They burned my face, melted it into what you see today. That way I can never forget my calling. And then came the little arrows from the ships, filled with their hatred. It's been 2 months now, and we still mourn those who lost their lives that day. It's why we build the fires and sing the songs and dance the dance. And we fear those from our village who decided not to join us. They work with the demons, undoubtedly.
Wait, 2 months? Alec asked. What do you mean, 2 months?
Yes,
Jed replied slowly, as if talking to a confused child.
We count the days solemnly, every one. It's been 2 months and 3 days.
Whoa, 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 Mark said. It couldn't have been that long. It happened to us just a few days ago.
I don't like it when people doubt my words,
Jed said, his tone changing drastically in the middle of his sentence. It suddenly turned threatening.
How can you sit there and accuse me of lying? Why would I lie about such a thing? I've tried to make peace with you, give you a second chance in this life, and this is how you repay me?
His voice had risen in volume with every passing word until he was shouting, his body trembling.
It makes my head hurt!
Mark could tell Alec was about to explode, so he quickly reached over and squeezed his arm.
Don't, he whispered. Just don't.
Then he returned his attention to Jed.
No, listen, please. It's not like that. We just want to understand. Our village had the arrows from the ships rain down on us less than a week ago. So we assumed the same about you, and you said that people died the day it happened. We saw bodies of people who seemed to have died more recently. Just help us understand.
Mark had the feeling that there was some important information to be learned from these people. He didn't think the man was lying about the time frame. There was something here. Jed had raised his hands to place them where his ears should have been on his head, and was slowly swaying from side to side.
People died right away. Then others later. More suffering as time passed. More dying. Our village split into factions. All the demons' work.
He started moaning, almost chanting.
We believe you, Mark said. We just want to understand. Please, just talk to us. Tell us what happened, step by step.
He tried to keep the frustration out of his voice, but he couldn't. How was he supposed to do this?
You've made the pain come back,
Jed said tightly, still swaying. His arms were rigid, his elbows sticking straight out as he continued to hold his head in his hands. It looked as if he were trying to crush his own skull.
It hurts so much. I can't. I have to. You must be from the demons. It's the only explanation.
Mark knew his time was running out. We're not, I swear. We're here because we want to learn from you. Maybe your head is hurting because you have knowledge that you're supposed to share with us. Alec dropped his head forward.
They came 2 months ago, Jed said,
his voice distant somehow.
And then the death has come in waves, taking longer each time. 2 days, 5 days, 2 weeks, a month. And we have people from our own village, people we once called friends, trying to kill us. We don't understand what the demons want. We don't understand. We don't understand. We dance. We sing. We make sacrifices.
He fell to his knees, then collapsed to the ground, still pressing his hands against his head. He let out a long, pain-filled moan. Mark had reached the end of his patience. This was complete lunacy as far as he was concerned, and there was no way to deal with it rationally. He looked over at Alec, and he could tell by the fire in the man's eyes that he was ready to take another shot at escape. Their captors were still kneeling, faces lowered in some kind of sick worship of the man writhing in pain. It was now or never. Mark was just about to consider his next move, trying to focus over the moans and groans coming from Jed, when new sounds arose in the woods behind them. People yelling and screaming, laughing, making bird calls and other animal noises. Accompanied by the crunch of footsteps on the dry undergrowth of the forest, the creepy sounds continued, getting louder as the people got closer. Then, more alarmingly, the noises spread in a circle around the clearing of the bonfire, until it was completely surrounded by a chorus of caws and cuckoos and roars and hysterical laughter. There had to be several dozen people making the noises.
What now?
Alec said with clear disgust.
We warned you about them, the woman said from where she knelt. They used to be our friends, our family. Now the demons have taken them, and all they want is to torment us, to kill us.
Jed suddenly reared up on his knees again, screaming at the top of his lungs. Violently, he jerked his head down, then left and right, as if he were trying to knock something loose from his skull. Mark couldn't help but scoot backward, crab-walking until the rope around his neck grew taut. The other end was still in the hands of one of the kneeling men. Jed let out a piercing, horrific sound that cut off all the new ones coming from the forest around them.
They've killed me,
he yelled, the words ripping from his throat.
The demons finally killed me.
His body went rigid, his arms stiff at his sides, and he fell over, a last breath rushing from his mouth. His body stilled, and blood began to seep from his nose and mouth. Chapter 26. Mark was completely frozen, staring at Jed's body lying in an unnatural, twisted position. In all his life, Mark was pretty sure he'd never endured such a strange hour as he had since arriving at this camp of madness. And as if it couldn't have gotten any stranger, now crazy people surrounded them out in the woods, making animal sounds and laughing hysterically. Mark slowly looked over at Alec. The man was stunned into silence, motionless as he stared at Jed. The movement and noises in the woods continued, catcalls and whistles and cheering and hooting, the cricks and cracks of footsteps. The men who'd been kneeling, and before that beating up Mark and Alec, stood up, looking at their ropes as if they weren't quite sure what to do with them. They glanced at their prisoners, then at each other, then back at the ropes. The two lines of singers behind them were doing much the same, searching about like someone should be telling them how to react. It was as if Jed had been some kind of link they all shared, and now that it had been severed, his followers were confused and unable to function. Alec acted first, clearly wanting to take advantage of the situation. He began fumbling with the rope tied around his neck, finally getting his fingers underneath it enough to work it loose. Mark was scared that would snap the men out of their dazed state and cause them to retaliate, but they actually dropped their ends of the ropes in response. Mark immediately followed Alec's example and worked at his own noose, finally getting it loose. He pulled it up and around his head until he was free, just as Alec was slamming his to the ground.
"Let's get out of this place," the older man grumbled.
"But what about their friends out there?" Mark asked. "They have us surrounded." He let out a big sigh.
"Come on, we'll just have to fight our way through if they try to stop us. Leave them to these yahoos."
The woman who'd first spoken to them came over, her gait hurried and her face filled with worry.
"All we've done is try to keep the demons at bay, nothing more. And look how you've ruined our efforts. How could you lead our enemies here?"
She winced after saying it and stumbled a step backward, holding a hand up to her temple.
"How could you?"
she whispered.
"I'm really sorry,"
Alec grumbled as he stepped around her and moved toward the fire. There was a long piece of wood that was half in and half out of the roaring flames. He picked up the unburnt side and held the thing up like a torch.
"This ought to make them think twice before they try anything. Come on, kid."
Mark looked back at the woman, who was obviously experiencing head pain, and things began to click into place.
"I said come on,"
Alec yelled at him. In that moment, dozens of people came tearing out of the surrounding woods with fists raised in the air, yelling. There were women and men and children, all with the same crazed expression of rage mixed with glee. Mark, sure he'd never seen anything like it, sprang into action, following Alec's lead, and grabbing a log out of the fire. Flames erupted from its tip as he swung it through the air, and he held it in front of him like a sword. The wave of attackers crashed into the rows of singers, jumping on them with animalistic cries of battle. Two men leaped into the air and straight into the bonfire. As Mark watched in horror, their clothes and hair ignited, screams tore from their throats as they stumbled out of the flames, but it was too late. Engulfed and burning alive, they ran out into the woods, sure to set the whole forest on fire. Mark turned back to the chanting villagers. They were being beaten and choked. He was surrounded by chaos. It was too much to take in.
"Mark!"
Alec screamed from nearby.
"Not sure if you noticed, but we're being attacked."
"Please,"
a woman cried behind Mark.
"Take me with you."
He whipped around to see the lady who'd ordered them beaten and almost burned her with the end of his torch. She seemed transformed, meek. But before he could respond, they were suddenly in the middle of what seemed like a 1,000-person fistfight. Mark was pushed and shoved. To his surprise, he realized that it wasn't just the new people versus the old. Many of the attackers were actually pummeling each other. He saw a woman fall into the fire, her screams filling the air. Someone grabbed Mark by the shirt and yanked him to the side. He was just about to rear back with his weapon when he realized it was Alec.
"You have a knack for getting yourself killed," the man yelled.
"I didn't know where to start or what to do," Mark countered.
"Sometimes you just act."
He let go of Mark's shirt, and they took off in the same direction, up the slope, away from the fire. But there were people all around them. Mark swung his torch in front of him as he ran. But then someone tackled him from behind. He dropped the burning log and landed face first in the dirt. An instant later, he heard a thump and a cry of pain, and the body flew off of him. He looked up to see Alec bringing his foot down from a kick.
"Get up!"
the man yelled. But the last word had barely come out of his mouth when he was slammed to the ground by a man and a woman. Mark scrambled to his feet, grabbed the torch he'd dropped, ran to where Alec was struggling with his two attackers. He drove the burning point into the back of the man's neck. The guy screamed and grabbed his throat, falling off Alec. Then Mark hauled the log back and swung it as hard as he could, connecting with the side of the woman's head. All Mark could hear was fire burning as she toppled off Alec. Mark reached down, grabbed Alec's hand, helped him to his feet. More people rushed in on them, at least 5 or 6. Mark whipped his log around, forgetting all control and just handing himself over to instinct and adrenaline. He smacked a man, then pulled his weapon back around and hit a woman right in the nose. He drove it forward at a man coming straight for him, thrust its tip into his stomach, and watched as his clothes ignited. Alec was next to Mark. He was punching and kicking and elbowing and picking people up, tossing them away like bags of garbage. At some point, he'd lost the torch he'd grabbed, too busy using both hands to fight off the attackers. The man was every bit the soldier he'd once been. An arm slipped around Mark's neck from behind and yanked him off his feet, started squeezing the breath out of him. Mark gripped the log in both hands, then hammered it backward in desperation. He missed, pulled it back, then tried again, swinging it with every bit of strength he could muster, while the oxygen rushed from his lungs. He felt the solid blow as he connected, heard the crunch of cartilage and the man's scream. Sweet air rushed into his chest as the arm loosened its grip. Mark fell to the ground, sucking the life back into his lungs. Alec was bent over to catch his own breath. They had a slight reprieve, but one look showed that more people were coming their way. Alec helped Mark to his feet. They turned upslope and half-crawled, half-climbed into the thicker cover of the trees. Mark heard the cries of pursuit behind them. These people didn't want anyone escaping. He and Alec hit a spot that was a little flatter and burst into an all-out sprint. And that was when Mark spotted it, about 100 yards ahead of them. A huge section of the forest was engulfed in flames. Between them and their camp. Where they'd left Trina, Lana, and Dee Dee. Chapter 27. The trees and shrubbery of the woods were already half dead, a tinderbox ready to light up. It had been a few weeks since the last torrential storm, and anything that had regrown since the flares was parched. Misty tendrils of smoke bled along the ground at their feet, and the smell of burning wood laced the air.
"It's gonna spread like wildfire,"
Alec shouted. Mark thought he was joking, but the man looked grave.
"It is a wildfire," he shouted back.
But Alec had already started running straight toward the distant flames, which seemed to have grown in the moments since it had begun. Mark set off after him, knowing they had to make it to the other side of the inferno before it got too big. They had to get to Trina and Dee Dee and Lana. The two of them tore through the undergrowth, kicking past thick briars, dodging trees and low-hanging limbs. The sound of pursuit still rang out from behind, but it had lessened, as if even their deranged pursuers understood it was crazy to head into a forest fire. But Mark could hear lingering catcalls and whistles haunting the woods. He ran on, throwing all of his focus into making it back to Trina. The fire got closer, crackling and spitting and roaring. A wind had picked up, fanning the flames. A huge branch toppled from far above and crashed through the canopy, throwing sparks everywhere until it finally hit the ground. Alec continued to head for the heart of the blazing section of woods, not slowing down, as if his one final goal was to run to a fiery death and end it all.
"Shouldn't we veer off?" Mark shouted up to him. "Where are you going?"
Alec answered without turning back, and Mark had to strain to hear him.
"I want to be as close as possible. Run along its edges so we know exactly where we are, and maybe lose those psychos while we're at it."
"Do you know exactly where we are?" Mark was moving as quickly as he could, but the soldier still stayed ahead of him.
"Yes,"
came the curt reply, but he pulled out his compass and looked at it as he ran. The smoke had grown thicker, making it hard to breathe. The fire took up Mark's entire field of vision now, the flames close and high and illuminating the night. The heat surged out in waves, washing across Mark's face only to be sucked away by the wind gusting from behind him. But as they got closer, now only a few dozen feet away, the waves didn't matter anymore. The temperature had skyrocketed. Mark was drenched in sweat and was so hot it felt as if his skin might melt. Just when he thought Alec might have lost his marbles after all, The man suddenly made a sharp turn to the right, running parallel to the expanding line of flames. Mark stayed as close to him as he could, putting his life in the former soldier's hands for the umpteenth time since they'd met in the subtrans tunnels. Intense heat pulsed across his body as he ran, sweltering wind from the left, cooler air from the right. His clothes were so hot against his skin they felt as if they might combust at any second, even though they were drenched in sweat. His hair was dry, though, any moisture sucked away by the searing air. He imagined the follicles on the cusp of drying out and falling to the ground like pine needles. And his eyes, they felt as if they were being baked in their sockets. He squinted and rubbed them, tried to force tears, but there was nothing. He ran on, mimicking Alec with every step, hoping they'd round the fire and break away from it before he died of thirst and heat exhaustion. The sound of the flames was the only thing he heard now, a constant roar like the ignited thrusters of 1,000 bergs. Suddenly, a woman came tearing through the woods from the right, just ahead, the fire a glint in the madness of her eyes. Mark prepared himself for a fight, expecting the woman to turn and attack them. But she ran across their path in front of Alec. If she'd been a little slower, he would have plowed right over her body. The woman ran, silent and determined, her feet crashing through the undergrowth. She tripped and fell, got back up. And then she disappeared in the wall of flames, and her screams cut short. Alec and Mark kept running. Finally, they reached the edge of the expanding inferno, the line of it far more distinct than Mark would have expected. They kept the same distance, but it felt good, sent a burst of fresh adrenaline through his body, to be turning toward the left, turning toward Trina and the others again. Mark ran even harder, almost tripped Alec's feet up when he caught up to him. Then they were side by side. Every breath was a chore for Mark. The air scalded his throat as it went down, and the smoke was like poison.
"We gotta get away from this thing."
"I know,"
Alec shouted back, bursting into a long fit of coughing. He quickly glanced at the compass gripped in the palm of his hand.
"Almost there."
Soon they rounded another corner of the main body of flames, and this time Alec veered to the right, heading away from the fire. Mark followed, realizing that he was completely disoriented now. He didn't think it was time to head straight again, but he trusted the old man. They trampled through the woods with renewed energy, going faster than ever. Mark could feel the fresher air with every breath he sucked into his lungs. The volume of the inferno's roar also died down enough that he could hear the crunching sounds of his footsteps again. Alec stopped suddenly. Mark ran past him a few steps before he could do the same. He turned to Alec and asked if he was okay. The man was leaning against a tree, his chest heaving as he took in short bursts of breath. He nodded, then buried his head in the crook of his arm with a loud groan. Mark bent over, hands on his knees, relishing the chance to rest. The wind had died down, and the fire seemed at a somewhat safe distance now.
"Man, you had me worried there for a while. I'm not sure that was the brightest thing ever to run so close to a raging inferno."
Alec looked over at him, but his face was mostly hidden in shadow.
"You're probably right, but it's easy to get turned around in a place like this at night. I was dead set on keeping the path we'd followed straight in my head."
He checked his compass, then pointed at a spot over Mark's shoulder.
"Our little camp is that way."
Mark looked around and saw nothing that distinguished that part of the woods.
"How do you know? All I see is a bunch of trees."
"Just because I know."
Strange noises filled the night, mixed in with the steady roar of the fire. Screams and laughter. It was impossible to tell which direction they were coming from.
"Looks like those crazy buggers are still running around looking for trouble," Alec said through a groan.
"Crazy buggers is right. I was hoping they'd all die in the fire."
Mark said it before realizing how terrible it sounded. But the side of him that wanted to survive at all costs, that had become ruthless over the last year, knew it was the truth. He didn't want to have to worry about them anymore. He didn't want to spend the rest of the night and the next day looking over his shoulder.
"If wishes were fishes," Alec said.
He took a deep, long breath.
Okay. We better hurry and meet back up with the three ladies.
They started jogging, a little slower than earlier, but not much. The return of those sounds, even though they didn't seem too close at the moment, obviously had them both on edge. A few minutes later, Alec changed course, changed again. He stopped at one point, got his bearings, poked around a bit, then pointed down a slope.
Ah, he said. It's right down there.
They set off that way, slipping and sliding as the descent got steeper. The wind had shifted, blowing back toward the fire, filling their lungs with fresh air, and easing that concern, at least temporarily. Mark had grown so used to the light from the flames that he'd failed to notice that dawn had crept up on them. The sky through the branches above him was now purple instead of black, and he could faintly see where he was going. The landscape grew familiar, and suddenly they were back at the camp. Their things were still laid out exactly as they'd left them. But there was no sign of Trina or the others. A little seed of panic sprouted inside Mark's chest.
Trina! He yelled. Trina!
He and Alec quickly combed the surrounding area, calling their friends' names as they did. But all was quiet. Chapter 28. Mark could barely contain himself. Of all the crap they'd been through, at least he and Trina had never really been separated before. It had only taken 10 minutes of her being missing for the most sinking feeling of helplessness to hit him.
There's no way, he said to Alec as they searched in widening circles around the camp. He heard the desperation in his own voice. There's no way they'd just march off while we were gone. Not without at least leaving us a note or something.
He ran a hand through his hair, then yelled for no reason other than anger and frustration. Alec was doing a much better job of keeping his cool.
Calm down, boy. You need to remember two things. One, Lana is as tough as I am, and a whole lot smarter. And two, you're forgetting the details.
What do you mean? Mark asked.
Yes, you're right. Under normal circumstances, they would have stayed here until we got back. But these circumstances aren't normal. There's a forest fire raging nearby and crazy people running through the woods making horror movie noises. Would you just sit here and twiddle your thumbs?
That didn't make Mark feel better at all.
So, you think they went looking for us? What if we passed them on the way back here?
He squeezed his hands into fists and pressed them against his eyes.
They could be anywhere.
Alec marched over to him and grabbed his shoulders.
Mark, what's come over you? Calm down, son.
Mark dropped his hands and looked into Alec's eyes, which were hard and gray in the low light of dawn, but also filled with genuine concern.
I'm sorry. I'm freaking out here. What are we going to do?
We're going to keep our wits about us, and we're going to stay calm, and we're going to think. And then we're going to go out there and find Lana and the others.
They have a little girl with them, Mark said quietly. What if somehow those people who attacked us got here first? Took them?
Then we'll get them back. But I need you to pull yourself together, or that'll never happen. You got it?
Mark closed his eyes and nodded, did his best to slow his racing heart and dampen the panic that flared in him. Alec would figure things out. He always did. Mark finally looked at the soldier again.
Okay. I'm okay. Sorry.
Good. That's better.
Alec took a step back and studied the ground.
It's getting light enough now. We need to find any sign of what path they took. Broken branches, footprints, cleared undergrowth, whatever. Start searching.
Mark did, desperate to get his mind occupied with something other than imagining every horrible scenario possible. The sounds of the fire and the occasional scream or laugh still floated through the air, but they seemed distant, at least for the moment. He swept the area, carefully studying every spot before he dared take another step, his head swiveling up and down, side to side, like some kind of robotic scavenger unit. All they needed was one major clue, and then they could probably pick up the trail more easily. Mark felt an almost competitive vibe take over him. He wanted to be the one to find something first. He had to make himself feel better, to feel like they'd been set on a path to relieve his panicked thoughts. He couldn't lose Trina. Not now. Alec was working about 20 feet farther outside the camp, actually on his hands and knees, and literally sniffing along like a dog. He looked ridiculous, but there was something about it that touched Mark. The old grizzly bear rarely showed the slightest hint of emotion, unless he was yelling or screaming or pounding on something, or someone, but he often showed how much he genuinely cared. Mark had no doubt the man would give his life today if it meant saving one of their three missing friends. Could Mark say the same about himself? Both Mark and Alec came across obvious signs of passage. Broken twigs, shoe impressions in the dirt, shifted branches on trees or bushes. But each time they concluded that they'd been the ones who'd caused it. After a half hour or so, this made Mark realize that they were combing the area between the camp and the direction they'd gone last night. He stopped and stood up straight. "Hey, Alec," he said. The man was on his hands and knees, leaning his face into the middle of a bush. He grunted something that kind of sounded like a, "Yeah?" "Why are we spending so much time on this side of where we left them?" Alec pulled himself out of the bush and looked back at him.
"Seemed logical. I'd think they either followed us out of here to find us, or they were taken by the same yahoos who attacked us. Or maybe they went to investigate the fire."
Mark thought that was all barking up the wrong tree. "Or they ran away from the fire. Not every person on Earth is as wacky-brained as you, good sir. Most people see a huge, roaring inferno coming at them. They decide to cut and run. Just saying."
"No, I don't think so."
Alec had shifted all his weight to his knees, stretching his back.
"Lana's not a coward. She wouldn't save herself and leave us to die."
Mark was shaking his head before the soldier even finished.
"You've got to think this through. Lana has the same worship complex of you that you have of her. She'll think you are safe and taking care of yourself just fine and dandy. She'd also consider the circumstances top to bottom and decide the best course of action to take. Am I right or am I right?"
Alec shrugged, then glared at him.
"So you think after all that, Lana would leave us to die at the hands of some crazies and run for her life?"
"She didn't know we were in the hands of people like that. We told her we were just going to take a look, remember? Then she probably heard more sounds, heard and saw the fire coming. I bet she went monster logic on us and decided she better run toward the Berg headquarters, and that we'd decided the same thing, rendezvous there. You did point out the general direction we needed to go."
Alec was nodding and grumbling, impossible to read.
"Not to mention that she has a civilian,"
he made quotation marks in the air when he said that last word, "and a little girl who's probably terrified. I highly doubt Lana would leave them alone to come after us or take the others closer to danger." Alec got to his feet and brushed the dirt off his knees.
"Okay, boy, you can quit going on about it. You sold me. But what's your point?"
He had the slightest smile on his face, barely there. And Mark knew why. The bear was enjoying this, watching his pupil figure things out on his own. Mark pointed to the other side of the camp, toward the spot Alec had identified the day before as the direction they needed to go. The headquarters of that Berg awaited. The place where they'd find the people who had ruined their lives once again.
"Like I said,"
Alec spoke with an exaggerated sigh.
"You sold me. Come on, let's start looking over there."
He winked at Mark as he walked past, but then gave him a scowl. Mark laughed.
"You are one strange little man."
Alec stopped and faced him.
"That's what my mama used to say. She'd wake me up in the morning, give me a little kiss and a hug, and she'd say, 'My sweet Alec,
You are one strange little man.
Got to me every time, right here. He patted his heart, then rolled his eyes dramatically.
Let's get to work.
See? Mark said as he followed. Do I need any more proof? Strange, little, man. Officially proven.
You got one word right. I'm definitely a man. I'm all man, baby.
He let out a strangled, choking sound that might have been a laugh. They stepped more carefully when they made it to the area Mark had indicated, and soon they were back at it, searching every square inch for a telltale sign of a trail. Mark paused to take in the sounds that had become background noise, barely there until you focused on it. The roaring, crackling, spitting forest fire, still safely distant, but getting closer, and the occasional hoot or holler or laugh of their new unfriendly friends. Again, safely distant, though it was hard to tell where the sounds were coming from. The air had begun to look hazy from the smoke now that the sun was up to reveal it.
Found something, Alec announced. Be careful, he yelled, when Mark tramped over to see for himself.
Oh, sorry. He slowed down and crept over to stand next to the soldier. Alec was on his knees, leaning back on his feet. He had a stick in his hand and used it as a pointer.
There's about 3 bushes in a row that have been walked through, and by more than one person for sure. See the smashed part there? The broken branch there? The footsteps here and there.
He gestured at one nearby. Mark leaned forward and saw it. Small. Just the right size for Dee Dee.
There's only one problem, Alec continued, something heavy in his voice.
What? Mark asked quickly. Alec used the stick to poke a spot, just above the ground where the others had passed, of leaves clumped together. Their shiny green faces had been sprayed with small drops of blood. Chapter 29. Mark didn't allow himself to have the same panic attack this time. But he went dead silent, his insides cold and his hands slicked with sweat. He imagined that his face was pale too. But he forced himself to remain calm as Alec stood and slowly made his way along the trail they'd found. With growing dismay, Alec pointed out more spots of blood along the path. There wasn't much, but there was enough to see.
It's hard to say how serious an injury we're talking about. I've seen bloody noses spurt this much out, but I've also seen a guy with his arm blown off who hardly bled a drop. The explosion cauterized him right clean.
Not helping, Mark muttered. Alec shot a glance back at him.
Sorry, kid. I'm trying to say I don't think this is all bad news. Whoever's hurt might just have a bad cut. People have survived more blood loss than this many a time. If anything, maybe it'll help us keep on their trail.
Alec moved on again, his head swinging back and forth as he walked, taking it all in. Mark followed on his heels, trying hard not to look at the trail of blood. He just couldn't. Not until his nerves settled a bit. He hoped this wasn't some kind of wild goose chase, or worse, a trap.
Anything else that lets us know it's definitely Trina in them? He asked.
Alec stopped and leaned far down to examine some dirt next to a trampled bush.
Based on the pattern, I'd say it's our pretty little group that came through here. I can see their footsteps well enough. And
he flicked a nervous glance backward. And what?
Well, I haven't seen Dee Dee's in a while, so my guess is that someone started carrying the poor thing back there.
He jabbed a thumb over his shoulder.
So maybe she's the one who got hurt, Mark concluded, the thought of it making his stomach fall. Maybe she just fell and skinned a knee or something.
Yeah, Alec replied numbly. But the other thing is...
Mark had never seen the man so hesitant to speak before.
Would you just spit it out, man? What's going on?
When they came through here, Alec said quietly, seemingly oblivious to Mark's rebuke, they were definitely running. And running pell-mell. All the signs add up.
the length of their strides, the smashed bushes, the broken shrubbery and branches. He met Mark's eyes, like they were being chased. That gave Mark a lump in the back of his throat, until he remembered something. But you just said you could only see three sets of footprints. Is there any sign that somebody might have been going after them?
Alec looked up, then pointed.
Things fly around these parts, remember?
As if they needed one more thing to worry about.
Don't you think we would have heard if a bird came swooping in and chased our friends down the mountain?
In the middle of what we just got done with? Maybe not. Might have been something besides a bird, anyway.
Mark gave another weary glance upward.
Let's just keep moving.
The two of them followed the path, Mark hoping the whole time they didn't find more blood. Or worse.
The signs of Trina, Lana, and Dee Dee's passage continued into a long, low ravine that made its way toward an almost hidden canyon. Mark hadn't noticed the walls of the mountains to their sides getting taller, and the slope was gradual enough that he didn't really feel like they were descending very quickly. Especially being surrounded by the woods and spending most of his time studying the land for clues and traces of their friends. But one minute they were traveling along through a thick copse of trees, the next they came out into a wide clearing bordered by canyon walls of gray granite. They were so steep that only a little vegetation grew in small clumps here and there. Alec pulled out his handwritten map and stopped.
We're here.
He made Mark step back and hid the two of them behind the large trunk of an oak.
Really? Almost certain this valley is where that berg returned after every trip.
Mark peeked around the tree and examined the tall, foreboding walls. A little dangerous to fly down into this place, don't you think?
Maybe, but also perfect to hide yourself. There has to be a landing zone somewhere close, and an entrance to wherever they call home. I still think it might be an old government bunker, especially being this close to Asheville. The city is just on the other side of this canyon.
Yeah. Something was troubling Mark. So, what are the odds that Lana and them would get chased this far? I'm really worried they got taken.
Maybe not. Lana knows that wandering around the mountains looking for us wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. Better to make a beeline for the one spot that's most obviously a rendezvous point. Here.
Then where are they?
Alec didn't answer. Something had caught his attention out in the clearing. We might both be right, he finally whispered. His gravelly voice sounded ominous.
What is it?
Stay low and follow me.
Alec got on his hands and knees and crawled out from around the tree, keeping under the line of shrubs and bushes. Mark did the same and followed him out into the clearing, certain that a berg was going to come barreling in with dart guns over their heads any second. They kept to the barely discernible path where Mark assumed Trina and the others had walked. At first, he had thought that maybe the bergs landed in the clearing, but there was no sign of such a spot whatsoever. The vegetation had grown pretty thick. Alec hacked his way through it for about 30 feet, then stopped. Mark poked his head around the man and saw that there was a large spot where the bushes had been trampled and crushed. An obvious sign of struggle. His heart dropped. Oh no, was all he could get out. Alec's head hung low. He shifted to crouch even lower.
You were right. Somebody took them here, no doubt. Look, the bushes are beat to death on the other side. Like 20 people marched across it.
Mark had to push down the panic again. So what do we do? Go back and hide or go after them?
Not so loud, kid, or they're going to be on top of us, too.
Let's just go back, Mark whispered. Regroup. Decide what to do. He had the urge to chase after the trail, but his wiser side told him they needed to think it through first.
We don't have time to...
A loud clanging sound cut the man off, a metallic bang that shot through the air like a cannon.
Mark dropped to his stomach,
half expecting the canyon walls to come crashing down on top of him.
"What was that?"
he asked. But before Alec could answer, the sound came again, a quick, ear-splitting boom that shook the ground, which continued to tremble even after the noise ceased, vibrating so much that the bushes around them danced. Mark and Alec met each other's gaze, not sure what was going on. The noise rocked the air yet again, and the land beneath them suddenly started to rise toward the sky. Chapter 30. Mark jumped to his feet, pulling Alec's arm. The entire area around them shook as it rose, and it took all of Mark's effort not to fall again. He knew that what was happening had to be impossible, and it made him wonder about his mental state. But the ground at their feet was slowly rising, tilting as it did so. He looked around frantically, so dumbfounded and confused he didn't know what to do. Alec seemed to be in the same stupor. Mark snapped out of it first. His mind cleared and he noticed several things at once. First, it wasn't like the entire valley was vaulting toward the sky because of an earthquake or massive shifting of the earth's crust. It was only a small area, the clearing where they stood. The trees surrounding them were still and calm, the branches not so much as swaying with the wind. Second, the slow but steadily increasing tilt of the moving land made him realize that half of it was actually sinking into the ground, and the whole thing looked to be in the shape of a circle. Third, there was a low metallic grinding sound.
"It's man-made," he yelled, already on the run with Alec. "Swinging open on some kind of pivot."
Alec nodded briskly and picked up the pace. They were both running sideways to the angle of the slope, aiming to make it to a spot where they could jump off the shifting disk of land. It was moving slowly enough that the initial burst of panic left Mark and was replaced by curiosity. They were obviously standing on some sort of massive trap door. But why was it so? He and Alec ran the last few steps, reaching the side of the rotating section of ground at the point of the pivot, only having to jump a couple of feet to safety. They scrambled away to the line of trees and dropped down, slipping behind the same large oak as before for cover. Mark poked his head out to watch the continuation of the spectacle. The upper edge of the circular cutout was now 30 feet in the air, the lower edge fully sunk into the ground and out of sight. It kept rotating to the grind of the laboring gears, which sounded louder now.
"Looks like a coin flipping," Alec muttered.
"A really big one, flipping really slowly," Mark agreed. Within another minute or so, the round piece of land was exactly vertical, half in the ground and half out, still rotating. Soon the earth and bushes were descending upside down, and Mark could finally see what lay on the opposite side of the coin. A flat, gray, concrete-like surface with small grooves cut across it in perfectly straight lines. It wouldn't be long before the large circle rested flat on the valley floor, facing the sky and waiting for something to land on it. Hooks and chains were scattered across the circle of gray for securing whatever did land.
A landing spot, Mark thought.
A landing spot for the berg. Or bergs.
"Why aren't the dirt and plants sliding off the other side?" he asked.
"Looks like magic."
"Probably fake as a rubber glove," answered the soldier. "Wouldn't do if they had to come out and resod the whole thing every time they used it, now would it?"
"It sure looks real."
Or did. He watched in fascination. The piece of moving land had to be a couple of 100 feet across.
"Do you think they saw us? Surely they have cameras out here."
Alec shrugged.
"You'd think so. All we can do is hope they're not looking real hard."
The coin of land was now at a 45-degree angle, and within minutes of completely sealing the hole in the earth. Mark wondered if Alec was thinking the same thing he was.
"Should we do it?" he asked him.
"A berg might be landing any second. This is our chance." At first, the man seemed surprised, as if Mark had read his mind. Then a knowing grin crept across his face.
"It might be the only way to get inside, eh?"
"Maybe.
It's now or never."
cameras and guards. It's a big risk.
But they have our friends.
Alec nodded slowly.
Said like a true soldier.
Let's go then.
Mark got to his feet but stayed crouched down, leaning against the tree as he snuck out from behind it. He had to move before he changed his mind, and he knew Alec would be right on his heels. There was still about a 15-foot open space between the edges of the moving disc and the real land that surrounded it. After a deep breath to psych himself up, Mark sprinted for the left side, wondering if shots would ring out or soldiers would rise out of the darkness in the gap, waiting for them. But nothing happened. They reached the side of the circle. Mark stopped and dropped to his knees a few feet away, then crawled forward to peek over the edge. Alec did the same, the two of them leaning over the opening. It gave Mark a sick feeling, knowing the descending piece of land was right above him. If it suddenly dropped the last bit without warning, it had cut them both in two. It was dark down below, but Mark could see a walkway made of silvery metal, mostly hidden in shadow, that encircled the huge space underneath. There was no light source and no sign of people. He glanced up and was alarmed at how close the leading edge of the circle had come. They had a couple of minutes, tops.
We need to hang our feet down and swing onto that, Mark said, pointing at the walkway, a metal ledge.
Think you can do that? He added with a grin. Alec was already on the move.
A lot better than you, kid, he answered with a wink.
Mark rolled onto his stomach and inched his body over the lip of the opening, lowering his feet into the abyss while he held on to the edge. He gripped the edge of the rim tightly, then began to swing his legs. Alec was two steps ahead of him. The man let go, flying forward to land on the walkway. He crumpled to the ground with a grunt, but looked okay. Mark fought off the thought that tried to lodge itself in his mind, of him missing or landing awkwardly, tumbling off to disappear into the darkness. He counted to three in his mind, timing it just right with his legs swinging backward, then letting go as they swung forward. His momentum made his gaze shift up when he let go, and he caught a last glimpse through the small crescent gap. He saw the flaming blue thrusters of a berg and its metal underbelly coming down from the sky above. Then he lost the view and crashed on top of Alec.